Now a question. Do you believe that God has made promises that relate to your future? What are some of those promises? Do we trust them? Last week, we began a short series on our bucket list. This idea that, whether we're totally conscious of it or not, we all have things we hope and aspire to do while days remain to us. And the point that I wish to make this morning is that that whole exercise really rests on God's promises. Because if we have no expectation of the presence of God in our lives, then what's ahead is all a total mystery. And we have no reason to expect that it will be good or that we will be somehow seen through it. So I invite you to think about this theme this morning, because you see, the whole line of faith has been based on God's promises. The Romans passage that Ted read for us this morning touched upon the life of Abraham, and we mentioned that last week, that Abraham was a man who lived in response to promises, and in fact, in response to the promises of God, he saw things ahead for his days that he would not otherwise have anticipated. And when we think about it, the scriptures are a whole litany of ways in which God has made promises to his people. Promises to sustain them in each generation, promises to be with them. Promises that don't always have an exact or specific conclusion, as in the way that Abraham's did, but nevertheless, promises that are words of assurance to God's people. I mean, after all, we've just gone through that season of Advent and Christmas. And the coming of Jesus Christ was a fulfillment of the Lord's promise. In fact, even as we thought about the Epiphany Sunday, the birth in Bethlehem was even promised in advance. I read from Matthew 3 concerning the ministry of John the Baptist, whose role was to announce to the world that the promised Messiah was here. Because you see, only a few people really knew about Bethlehem, but now things were to change in that Jesus was to begin a public ministry in which many, many people would be engaged. And how does John the Baptist begin? Well, he says, I'm here to fulfill the promise. My being here is part of what God has promised in the sending of his Son. It's a sign that you should recognize and take heart in. Christ made many promises to his followers. Some of them were in the form of simple declarations, and others were promises that they could count on to see them through in the troubling times which were to be part of his life and the conclusion of Christ's mortal life on earth. Some of those promises are still unfolding. Christ promised that he would provide his Spirit to guide and shape the understanding of the faith in the lives of his disciples. And that was not a promise just for one generation. That was a promise for all generations that would follow after. And here we are, living in that promise. So our understanding of the future, whether we're talking about bucket list or anything else to do with the future, rests on our understanding and our expectation concerning God's promises. Now, we know that promises are very important. I mean, we make promises to one another, don't we, all the time. Some of them are casual and incidental, and some of them are very significant. But there's a difference, of course, in a human promise and a divine promise. I mean, I can promise you that I will do something tomorrow. I have no idea what tomorrow has in it. And maybe though that promise is made with good intention, for one reason or another, I won't be able to fulfill that promise. But the contrast is that God's promises come from one who is eternal. And his promises are sure and not hindered by the sorts of things that often hinder the fulfillment of our human promises. And of course, our human promises aren't just hindered by physical difficulties. Sometimes we want to back out of our human promises, rightly or wrongly. And we know, however, that God's promises are true and sure and certain. And it's interesting because in the scriptures, human promises are treated as important, even though offered by mortal beings who cannot always fulfill what they pledge. But the scriptures teach us that to make certainly significant and serious promise to others is a sacred thing. And so we live in a world of promise. Now, all the spiritual things on your bucket list rest on God's promises. We don't always get to them by thinking that, but when we analyze them, it's true. What we hope to do rests on God's care and on God's blessing and the fulfillment of that which he has pledged to his people. Now, sometimes people misrepresent the promises of God. I mean, there was, I can recall a time when You know, people were going around saying, well, you know, if you trust God, you'll be wealthy. Because, you know, God possesses all of creation and the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all yours as his people. Which, of course, is to sadly misrepresent that aspect of God's promise to care for his people. And no, believing in the Lord won't guarantee you wealth. Nor, in fact, will believing in the Lord guarantee you a trouble-free life. It will assure you of a life that you never have to walk through entirely alone. But it does not include the idea that therefore we will be immune to all struggles, challenges, or difficulties. And of course, another place in which God's promises and our expectations get a little confused are in matters relating to the fact that God's promises are eternal promises, and we always want promises that are fulfilled tomorrow. I mean, think about it. In the Old Testament era, God's promises concerning the sending of his Messiah were generations and centuries in being fulfilled, even though they were assured from the very beginning. And people lived in trust, knowing that that day would come when the Lord's promise would be fulfilled. They didn't understand necessarily exactly how it would come about to completion, but they believed that it would happen. And therefore, even generations and centuries later, at the time of the birth of Christ, there were those in Israel who were still clutching tenaciously to the promise of God that he would send a Messiah. And they were not mistaken in that trust. So God's timeline is not always quite the same as ours. In any case, think about the days that remain to you and what you would like to accomplish by the grace of God. And think about that with the remembrance that our futures rest on the promises of an eternal God. And that while we may not know exactly how our lives will unfold, or we may not even know with any clarity at all as to how our lives will unfold from this moment forward, we know that the Lord is the creator and keeper of life. We know that the Lord is a God of grace and pardon and healing. We know that in Christ we are loved and cherished. We know that in Christ we will not be abandoned or neglected. And with that foundation, we can think of a bucket list in altogether new terms. Leaving the final details in God's hands as to how it might work itself out. Anyway, if you see, we plan or think about things we want to do in the remainder of our days without taking God into account, we're making a huge mistake. But as we listen to the promises that God has made, They aren't always specific in terms of day and hour, but they are certain in terms of the one who promised them being able and willing to fulfill them. And therein we find strength. I hope I can spur you on to think about your bucket list a little bit from a spiritual perspective, and that as you do so, you will keep the matter of God's promises in mind. And as you read the scriptures and as you think about life, remember those promises. It's good for us, you know, to pull them out and say, God has promised this. I don't know all the details, but God has promised that he will be with me. And therefore, I can face life differently. Now you know why I chose to have us sing Standing on the Promises of Christ My King. Friends, this is good news. Take it with you, share it in the world, and rejoice. Thanks be to God. Amen.